Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone along with Leslie Gold. Always great to be with you. News has been made recently in the fashion world that I really want to share with you. Dr. Danielle Shapuk has been named the newest face of a clothing store called the Tomboy Shop in New York City. This is a store pegged as an androgynous clothing retailer. The shop is unique, and that's certainly an interesting retailer to have. And why Danielle is making news, too, is that she's the first woman ever in a wheelchair to be featured at New York Fashion Week last year when she modeled for a fashion designer. And now she's one of the faces of the Tomboy Shop. Danielle is a former Ms. Wheelchair New York. She's a media commentator, disability rights advocate, and if that were not enough, she's a clinical psychologist. Danielle, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks for having me, Valerie.
Well, it's my pleasure. You are a woman with many hats for sure, Danielle. I know you're very busy with your practice, but you managed to have time as a fashion model and really breaking ground as a woman in a wheelchair that's gotten so much attention as a fashion model. First of all, before we talk about Tomboy, take me back to last year, just around this time when you were making news in Fashion Week in New York.
That was a really fantastic moment. That was very organic. I met the designer Carrie Hammer about 6 months prior to that show, and we hit it off immediately and stayed in touch. And then when she decided to use role models instead of the traditional runway model, we were on the phone and she said, "Why not you?" And I thought that was a great idea, of course, right in line with my mission to change the image of people with disabilities into something more glamorous and cool and sexy. So we didn't know at that time that it was the first time anyone in a wheelchair has been on the runway in New York Fashion Week. So we had no idea the impact it would have. It had afterwards, which has been, I mean, it's still going a year later.
Right.
So, well, and to me, that just indicates that the world wants to see this change, wants and needs to see this change for people with disabilities or a body that's different from the norm.
Well, I remember when that happened, and it was quite a moment for you. When you were going down the runway, first of all, anybody that's, you know, doesn't get to do this often, to go down the runway, it must have been extremely thrilling for you.
It's so thrilling that it's hard to really describe what happened, how the moment was. I just remember parts of it, just really really powerful parts. And that was beforehand, I was really thinking more kind of academically, like how I just want to do a good job modeling these clothes for Carrie. You know, I want to model these clothes just as good as anyone else who's walking down the runway. So that's what I was thinking prior to going out. But then when I came out and hit it, I just heard the music. I saw all the lights flashing, and it just was just a moment that I'll never forget.
And a lot of people can either, because it was a landmark moment for disabled people, for sure, and women and men in wheelchairs. Now, this year, just recently, the news is out that you're now one of the faces of the Tomboy Shop, which is itself a very unique retailer.
Yes, definitely. And when you said about the runway experience, how, you know, it'll be in the memories, it will last forever. I mean, one of the comments was that it was called a Rosa Parks moment for people in wheelchairs, and I think that's really significant. You know, we're not going to be behind the scenes anymore. We're not going to be left out of this industry anymore. And even with the Tomboy Shop, this new project is just also a Rosa Parks moment. I mean, to be asked to be a consistent model for a clothing company is really, it's saying a lot, and it's saying that it's not a political statement. It's not because it's pulling on people's heartstrings. It's because I'm just modeling like everyone else, and it's also a good economic move. I mean, we're a huge untapped market, people with disabilities.
Right.
So let's market to them.
So how did this come to be, that the Tomboy Shop and you made an arrangement?
It's a really interesting story because I just was thinking strategically about how I can infiltrate into the fashion industry again and just kind of keep breaking down these walls. And so I thought, let me look at smaller designers and see, you know, maybe small, more open-minded, forward-thinking designers. And so I said, let me look and see who's following me on Instagram and Twitter. So I made a list of all the small designers following me, and I sent out just a really brief, like, hi, nice to meet you. I'm happy to work for you and model for you if that's something you're interested in. You know, something to that, mm-hmm. that effect. And Tomboy Shop emailed me back.
That's it.
That's it.
Wow. The power of social media. It really is. It's stunning how we can make these wonderful connections. And you make connections with your client base through Skype. And obviously you have a different profession. You are a doctor. You are a clinical psychologist. You have a very busy day, Danielle. And yet you have Skype sessions well into the night with your clients. What is the specialty that you practice as a clinical psychologist?
I focus on the area of dating, romance, and sexuality for everyone, but even more narrow to make it more defined for people with physical disabilities, because it just continues to be a topic that's very much ignored. So I see a variety of clients, but most of my clients have physical disabilities, and it's just really amazing work. And, you know, together we're fighting this, all these stereotypes and stigmas that are still out there that make it really hard for us to get dates and engage romantically with the world. So I do work hard.
Yes,
it's
you
true.
Do. You do. When you were Miss Wheelchair New York, Ms. Wheelchair New York, that was your platform, wasn't it? It was really spreading the word about the disabled and their romantic life, their sexuality. That was your platform.
It's so interesting you bring that up, because it was my platform, and I'm going to be doing a TED Talk in a week, or a little over a week, and I'm going to be talking about this topic, dating and sexuality. And I have referenced, as you went back to my platform that I wrote back in 2012 and re-looked at the information and integrated it into my TED Talk. So, you know, I thought a lot about that platform, and it's still the structure of what I'm doing today.
Well, congratulations. That's huge, Danielle, that you'll be doing a TED Talk. That's amazing. And you've just keep moving forward in being an advocate for the disabled, for people in the wheelchair. What have you learned about yourself in the past few years that you didn't know, now that you've really embarked full tilt on this journey?
I love that question. I reflect on that all the time. I have definitely accepted my body. I accept my body for what it is. So I might have thought that years ago and growing up, but I've just embraced more. Well, you know, no one's 100%. You know, I have parts of my body that I don't like, just like everyone else, but I've accepted what my body is like and how it's just a variation of a human body like every other variation. And I think that's so important, because in the media, we're still so excluded from it. And when you don't see your reflection in the media, you just feel like you don't belong. Mm-hmm. And so that's what really drives me, because if you look at it that way, it's just so easy to understand why people with disabilities have low self-esteem regarding their bodies and their dating lives, because we just never see it out there. And I want to stop that from happening. And I've also grown more confident in my dating life. I mean, my view of my body and my disability has now made it easier to date because I don't care so much when I'm rejected by some guy because of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easier to understand it, and it lights my fire even more and makes me work harder to change things.
Well, you certainly are working very hard to change things and perceptions, and I want to wish you all the best as the new face of the Tomboy Shop and all of your amazing work that you do on behalf of the disabled. Danielle Shapuck, my special guest on America Weekend. Thanks so much, Danielle.
Thank you, Valerie.
It's Valerie Smaldone, Leslie Gold on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend. Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Want to save money, improve your memory, and reduce your weight at the same time? Sounds too good to be true, but it's doable. Here's the social science of it. First, how to save money. Did you know that 2/3 of all you buy in a grocery store is considered an impulse buy? To stop it, create a list of what you need, purchase from the list, pay for it, and exit the store. Want to improve your memory? Use a list. Everyone's memory slows down a bit as they age, and every genius I know uses a list to help out. Want to lose weight? Write down, list out everything you eat. As you're more conscious of what you put in your mouth, you just don't eat as much. What's the cheap psych trick? Even Santa Claus uses a list, and a simple list can save you money, improve your memory, and help you lose weight. Would love to hear from you. Send me an email at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think green. Harris with you. Did you know that Teflon-coated and other non-stick cookware are believed to be toxic to humans? The Environmental Working Group found that in the 2 to 5 minutes that Teflon pans are heated on a stove, the coating breaks apart and releases at least 6 toxic gases, including 2 carcinogens. The lungs of exposed birds have been known to hemorrhage and fill up with fluid, leading to suffocation, according to Natural News. For us, it's called polymer fume fever and is said to be a temporary flu-like symptom. Additionally, when Teflon pans get scratched during cooking, small amounts of Teflon and leached aluminum adhere to food and become ingested. So how serious is this? Well, in a 2006 Johns Hopkins Medical Center test, these chemicals were present in the umbilical cord blood of 99% of the 300 infants tested. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.